All right, everybody, hold up. Number one, that's what matters. All of heaven will rejoice over one person coming to saving faith. One person. Me. Yeah, Coulter. Me. Exactly. One person. That's all that matters. We can talk about these big, huge numbers, but really, God would have came down for just one. Just one. That's the reality, how much He loves each and every one of us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Every one of us. Every one of us. I love that song. It's actually a song that I sing to Coulter every night. He requests it. He said, I need that to go to sleep, Daddy. And we sing that every single night. But there's so much truth in that. That God loves you so much that He came, He dwelt, He died, He resurrected for you. Each and every one of you. The Coast Guard has this motto that they live by, this search and rescue motto. It is, always ready that others may live. Always ready that others may live. And they go out and they do all kinds of things to rescue people. And the Coast Guards have done all kinds of things that are great. They're always ready. They're always prepared that others may live. You know, Jesus has a motto. His motto is, He came down that others may live. Last week we talked about how in Matthew 25 it talks about how hell was designed not for us. Hell wasn't designed for you. It wasn't designed for the worst person that you can even imagine. Seriously, like if you really think about it, let's think about it. Like for me, I think of Hitler. Of all the devastation that he brought to this world, hell was not designed for him. It was designed for Satan and his demons. But yet we are headed that way because of our own choosing, because of our own ways of life, where we live our selfish life. We are headed towards that. And Satan and his demons want to do everything in their power to bring us into their reign, to usher us into darkness. And so, no, hell wasn't designed for any one of us. It wasn't designed for humans. But yet, many of us are headed that way because of our own choosing. We talked about that last week, how heaven was designed for us. That was what God intended. But yet, because of rebellion, we broke that. Because of that, we created a chasm between heaven and earth. And we talked about last week how Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it, according to John 3:17. We might have been heading in the wrong direction. Many of you could probably testify that you were once, you know, living in this one direction and you were headed towards hell and you were making bad decisions and you were selfish. But Jesus came and died for us and He completely changed our destiny. And so He cares about the one. You may be that one. You may, because of your testimony, declare that I was once that one, but Jesus saved me. Jesus' mission, according to Luke 19, verse 10, says that He was to seek and save the lost. I don't know about you, but I've studied the history of this church, and it was founded after a nine-week revival that happened over on the roadside up over here along the way. And they wanted to, you know, people were getting saved and they were wanting to gather and to fellowship with one another, which that's what church people should do. They should want to come together. But their guiding force was that Jesus Christ saves. Jesus saves. It used to stand and be on the walls of the church, above the church doors, Jesus saves. The reality is that was the mission. That is the mission of Jesus, and it was the mission of this church to go and seek and save the lost. And I believe that it's not changed. It is still the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ, is to go out and to seek and save the lost. Have you ever lost something in your life? Something that was very important to you, something that had great value, of great worth, that you search high and low, you went and you would give everything for it. Someone was sharing with me this morning that somebody lost a purse, and they found it, and they contacted the person, and they got reacquainted with the person, and they gave the purse back. I remember my mom losing a purse in a movie theater at one point, and she never found it, and she had to replace all her credit cards. You know, she had to change all her identification, because she actually carried her Social Security card on her, which, by the way, that's a no-no. You shouldn't do that. Like, really? Like, you shouldn't. So she had to really, like, take care of all that detail. But she would give anything to get all that information back because of the hassle she had to go through. You know, God lost something because of rebellion. Because of sin, because of separation, God lost something, and that was relationship. That was family. God's intention from the very beginning was family, was relationship with His creation. And He lost that, and He wanted to go to great length to restore that to right relationship with Him. And so we pick up in Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. And this is Jesus, and He's sharing several parables here in this passage. And so it'll be on the screen, but you can turn to your Bibles with you as well. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. It's probably several parables that you are probably familiar with. But I want us to think about how valuable one soul is. How valuable you are today. So much that Jesus came for each and every one of you. And so Luke 15, verses 1 through 10 says this. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers all muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you have 100 sheep and lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and he goes home. And he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and searches carefully, diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus talking to the tax collector sent here. He's not talking to the literally. He's not on the fire together and all right, guys, this is what I'm talking about. No, he is talking to us. He's talking to nobody. He is talking to people that weren't liked in the society. They weren't like religious souls either. Tax collectors, sinners, didn't have it all together. And you might have thought, even in this culture, the way it was, of him associating with it. You can see it, even with the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, of how they talked about Jesus. Well, he was hanging out with sinners and tax collectors, and you might think that Jesus was associating with them, and it might have made him look bad. And according to the religious leaders of that day, yes, it made him look bad. But Jesus willing, are you? Tax collectors, and you would might think that Jesus was associating with them and it might have made him look bad. And according to the religious leaders of that day, yes, it made him look bad. But Jesus was willing. Are you? Jesus, are you? Jesus, eight, if one, who one, who one, are you to do absolutely nothing, and just for return of Jesus. No, we need to go and active and bear fruit. So who is your one? In this passage today, we're going to cover, God uses two examples of two people that aren't thought highly of. They were shepherds and they were women. See, shepherds, even though we might think highly of them, because we can read the meta-narrative of Scripture and see how shepherds were used throughout all of the story of God, but in that society, they were the lowly. You know, we read the story, it's lowly shepherds. They were at the bottom of society. They weren't at the top. They were under all God's ways. They were isolated in time. They didn't have a lot of people that worked with. They were by themselves. And then there's women. Women in the society, in that age, they weren't had high value like we are women here in our day and age, or the least we should. But in that society, they were down in that tree, treated as property many times. Thank God, we have changed and we have gone and see God and see women the way that God sees them. But in this case, it wasn't the case. Yet, Jesus uses them as examples of the way he plans to save the world. Not from the top down, but from the bottom up. He comes, he dwells with us. So then the parable of the lost sheep is where we'll start today. It shows just how the Father looks after us. A shepherd is equipped with a rod and a staff. A rod that governs and guides. And also, you know, we learn even from David, the shepherd David, King David. He was known for even killing bears and lions. And he had, you know, a sling. Right, so shepherds had these things that they had with them, a rod or a sling that they would, you know, scare off animals and to fight off animals and protect the sheep. But then they also had a staff that they would go and they would guide them and correct them and bring them closer into the fold. Just like if you go and read Psalm 23, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, it talks about how good the shepherd is, how it looks after the sheep. How he guides them with his rod and his staff. But basically what this is saying is that the shepherd isn't weak. Like David wasn't weak. Like when David went before Goliath, he wasn't weak. He might have been small and a little boy, but boy, he wasn't weak. I mean, by the time I was a little boy, maybe his age, I hadn't have killed a bear. I hadn't have killed a lion. But David had. Shepherds are not weak, and the good shepherd is definitely not weak. He comes equipped, ready for battle. The goal for the good shepherd is to come and to bring his family back into the fold. He comes, and we were created by him and for him, and so he's coming to bring us back to him. Jesus, the good shepherd, goes looking for the lost sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, when they're lost and they're alone, they're not quiet. They're not quiet. They'll go into a bush, a thicket. They'll try to hide, but yet they tremble. They shake. They're afraid. And they start to scream and get loud. And what happens whenever that happens, whenever they're loud, people hear them, right? The enemy hears them. Wolves hear them. Foxes hear them. And they come and they devour the sheep. The same goes for us. When we are living in a dark world, we can be full of fear. We can go live our life and in this dark world and we truly are in fear. And we can tremble. And as a lost sheep, God is coming. And he is trying to find and identify where we are. And he's equipped for battle. He's ready to go to war with Satan and the enemies and the powers and principalities and darkness. We live in a dark world, yet you better believe that the enemy is here to come after you. He's here to destroy you. It says that Satan is here to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And so Jesus comes to save us. He's equipped with his rod and his staff, and he's coming after to make war with the enemy and to comfort his children, each and every one of us, the lost sheep. one lost life is worth leaving heaven for. And when found, all of heaven rejoices. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He left heaven over the one lost sheep. He would have left heaven if it was just one lost sheep. He would have left heaven for it because he values that lost sheep that much. You might be lost here this morning. Jesus values you. And just like a good dad carries his child over his shoulders whenever the child gets tired. You know, dads, what I'm talking about. You might have been to Disney World or some other type place and your kids get tired and they're like, "Dad, come on, can I ride on his shoulders?" Yeah. The good shepherd throws the sheep over his shoulder. The sheep that has been trembling with fear. He comforts the sheep as he carries them home. And once he gets home, he throws a party. And that is exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ should do. Whenever we go and we find a lost sheep and the lost sheep comes into the fold, we should party. This year, since I've been your pastor, since Hannah's been your pastor, we have seen 34 salvations to the glory of God. Amen? Like, we should party over that. If heaven parties over that, then we, his church, should party over that. We have seen 11 baptisms since that time as well. We should party over that. We should celebrate that. God is at work. Are you aware of it? Every one of you matters to God. How much do you matter, you might be asking. A few months ago, I lost this ring. This ring is very valuable for me. It's a wedding band. I don't take it off very often. There's very rare occasions that I have to take it off because something gets under it. But for some reason, I lost it one day. And I was searching everywhere, like all day long, to the point I was like, okay, I got to find this ring. I was without it all day long. The kids get home from school, I said, okay, I got this plan. I got $20 right here, guys. The first person that finds this ring for me gets this $20 bill. In 10 minutes, Paylina comes to me with the ring in hand. And I'm like, yes, thank you. And I gave her that $20 bill. Best $20 bill I've ever spent. But that's the thing. God looks after you, and he rejoices when you're found. Amen.
So we're talking about lost things, obviously, today. And I want to ask you, if you lost a $50 bill, what would you do? What would you do? You'd look for it. You would look for it, right? What if I told you that there was a $50 bill lost in this room, and if whoever finds it gets to keep it? What would you do? Well, I think you better get to looking because there's a $50 bill in this room. Who's going to find it? Who's going to find it? Y'all really think I'm kidding? I'm serious. There's a $50 bill in this room, and if you find it, it is yours. Seriously? Y'all really think I would hit it? Here it is. But whoever gets up here first and gets it, it's theirs. There you go. Hey. It pays to sit near the front, let me just tell you. You guys can go sit back down. Lincoln, you were so close. If I had another one, you would get runner-up for sure. Go sit back down, bud, okay? Good job. Good job. All right, let's keep going. We've talked about the first parable. Let's talk about the second parable a little bit more. Let's go back and read. It's just a couple more verses. Let's refresh the lost coin part of our passage. Verse 8, or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I don't know about you. I know Dustin gets bothered when he loses something. I really get bothered when I lose something, too. It's driving me crazy, y'all. I cannot find Brentley's birth certificate. He's our little one-year-old. I can't find it. When we went to Florida in January, I had Dustin go to the Register of Deeds and get two copies. Okay, we got two copies of it. And I didn't take both of them with us on the plane. I only took one. But I cannot find either one of those copies of that birth certificate at my house, y'all. It's driving me crazy. I have looked in every place that I know to look, and I just cannot find it. Now, I know, though, that if I have to, I can go back to the Register of Deeds, and I can pay the whatever it is, $20 or whatever, and get another copy of it. So far, I haven't needed it, but I'm hoping it's going to turn up eventually. It's driving me crazy, though. But think about this. The value of the lost thing determines how diligently you look for it. I'll say that again. The value of the lost thing determines how diligently you look for it. The second parable, it parallels the first. We have a silver coin that's been lost. It sounds like this coin is probably a drachma. Everybody say drachma, which equals a denarius. Everybody say denarius. Denarius, which was a day's wage for the average worker. That one coin would have been that lady's money that she had earned for an entire day of work. Now, I don't know about you, but imagine losing your salary for a whole day. That would be a big deal. At my house, it would be, okay? You worked hard for that money, right? You're counting on that money for something, right? To pay a bill, to get some food for dinner, whatever it might be. It's valuable to you. And some people might say, well, she's still got 9 coins. I mean, she's still got 9 more, y'all. It's just one coin. That's all she was missing. It was just one. No, that one coin is important, just as important as the other 9. So verse 8 says she lights a lamp and she sweeps the entire house. And I don't know about y'all, but we have a lot of sweeping at our house that has to happen. We have 5 kids. There's a lot of stuff on my floor. Okay, who we love dearly. We love our children. But she lights a lamp because in those days, there were very few, if any, windows in the houses. Could you imagine your house having no windows at all? That would be crazy. You could sleep really good. If you were like a night worker, you know, you could sleep really good during the day, I guess. But it didn't matter what time of day it was. She had to light a lamp so that she had to put forth effort. That lamp, that oil in that lamp cost her money. It cost her something, right? So she had to light this lamp. She had to open doors, open cabinets, underneath everything, light the lamp to sweep to find this coin. That coin that was lost in the dark. Y'all, our world is full of darkness, right? If you turn on the news or you get on Facebook for 1 minute, you're going to see all the darkness that is in our world. It's so, so dark. Some things glow in the dark. That's true. But this coin did not, unfortunately. That would have made it easier to find, wouldn't it? It's rampant in our world. And that poor woman with a missing coin, she would have been up a creek without a paddle if she had not had her lamp, right? We need light so that we're not stuck in darkness. Jesus says to us in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Y'all, the key to being found, the key to being brought out of darkness is what? Light. And who is the light? Jesus. Who is the light? Jesus. Jesus is the light. Y'all, Jesus is pursuing us. He's pursuing you. His love for you is so incredible. It's so amazing. It's huge. He would turn the world upside down just to find you. You. And then there's going to be a huge party in heaven when that happens. Who likes to party? I like to party. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You can run. You can hide. Some of you might be really good at hiding. You can, I know you are. You can avoid him all you want, but he's not going to stop coming after you. He's not going to stop. He's going to continue to pursue you no matter what you do because he loves you that much. Because he knows that you're better off with him than without him. Because he knows that you won't make it on your own. And because he knows that his plans for you, oh my, they're going to rock your world and they're going to blow your mind. And because, get this, you are valued and you are worth being found. You are valued and you are worth being found.
So as we close today, I'd like everyone just to close their eyes. No looking around, just bow your heads. And this is really between you and Jesus. I want to put I want you to put yourself in this story. As you're like the lost sheep, or maybe you're like the lost coin. Maybe you've been waiting a long time to be found. Maybe you've been trying to make it in this dark world on your own. That can end today. But ultimately, it is a decision that no one can make for you. It is up to you. You see, the thing is, what Jesus is, he doesn't force you to be found. But whenever you are ready, so is he. If you are ready for Jesus to find you this morning, this altar is open to you. And we would love to pray for you and to help you begin your journey with you. And so if God is working with you, I just ask you to just throw up your hand right now. Amen. Amen. So if God is working at you with you and God is wanting you to be found, I encourage you to come this morning to this altar. Right now it's open. You can come. Now for those of us who have been walking with Jesus already, sometimes you can get off track. Or you can lose focus and begin to get a little dark. And you might stray from the fold sometimes. Do you need to come back to him today? He's ready with open arms to bring you back into the fold. So come this morning to be brought back into the fold, to recommit, to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ and to live for him. So whether you're lost this morning, you could be found. Amen. Church, if God has put someone on your heart this morning, we have asked this question to you for the past several weeks. Who is your one? Who is your one? Hopefully by now, God has placed somebody on your heart that has gone astray, that is needing to be brought back to him. I ask you to come to the altar as well today. To come and kneel and pray and intercede for that one person that God has placed on your heart. Because church, we need to be interceding for them. They are lost and they're dying and they're going to hell. And so if church, if you truly care for the people around you, then you would be at this altar praying for them. Praying for that one lost person. So the challenge is threefold this morning. Are you lost? Come find Jesus here at this altar. Maybe you have gone astray and God's wanting to bring you back into the fold. Come this morning to the altar. And then lastly, who are you interceding for, church? Come to the altar and pray. As we sing this song, the altar's open this morning. Come and pray.